The older you get, the faster time goes. Amen. So hang on, Bill. I think you're the oldest. Praise God. December 1st. And it seems like it's been Christmas already for 2 or 3 weeks. It's Christmas all year round for us because we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. I want to start with a verse this morning from Micah. Chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." I love Micah's heart. Amen. He's trusting in the Lord. And I got to ask us all today, and it's, this answer is between you and Jesus, and do you trust God's ways? Sometimes his ways are different than ours, maybe you noticed. And there's times when we don't understand what's going on. Lord, what is going on? One of those I don't understand. And because it seems like our life is filled with detours and delays. Amen. Dead-end streets. You ever experienced any of that? You all have, I'm sure. And so... it can get discouraging, and then we're waiting for something to happen, and the door closes before us. Amen. Frustrating. You ever been frustrated in the kingdom of God? And so a door slams shut in your face, and we get frustrated, and then finally we're going to take a step forward, and it ends up being 2 steps backwards. Yeah. This walk of God can be frustrating at times, and it's not always easy. There's a lot of joy in it, and for me, even in the midst of the trials. But God doesn't always lead us. You notice that in a straight line. He seems to lead us in a zigzaggy way. What's he leading us around when he zigs and zags? How many landmines are we missing out? We only experience, I guess, what he wants us to. And plus, there's a whole lot of things going on planet Earth that is not the will of God. Things are happening that is not the will of God. So the Lord leads us along in what might seem like a crooked pathway. But everything that happens in our life has to serve God's greater plan. Amen. And so Joseph would have liked a jet to come and land in the desert there and pick him up and fly him down to Egypt so he could fulfill his place there. But, the pathway God had for him was full of turmoil and strife. And God didn't cause all those troubles, but he brought his servant through all those troubles and to his appointed place. Don't worry, God can take your troubles away too in a heartbeat. He can deliver, he can set free, he can heal. But I'm just talking about God's ways. Sometimes he uses trouble as a vehicle to take us to our next step. You ever experienced that? Wow, this is not a sermon about being a downer, but I'm just being realistic. And sometimes God uses trouble to take us to our next place. Through it all, we have to trust in God's ways. We have to trust in the way God's doing things. So the things that are happening in our lives, we have to trust God with them. Hallelujah. Because I say to Elizabeth all the time, we can't control anything, so we just have to trust the one who can, right? Trust Jesus. Hallelujah. So God even uses trouble sometimes to take us to our next position, step, place, whatever it might be. The doors that slam before us is because God didn't want us to go through those doors. Amen. And what about the people that leave us? It's all got to serve God's greater plan. All of it. Amen. The people that have left, and we miss them, and we love them, but everything has to serve God's greater plan. Doors closing in our face. People are leaving. Amen. Maybe the promotion you've been waiting for at your work hasn't come through. And so there's a lot of disappointments along the way. But we can trust in God's ways. I got a message for us this morning. You can trust in God's ways. It seems like God's a little slow at working things out. It seems like we wait a long time, but God's never slow. His timing's always perfect. And he gives each one of us the right to choose. And so there's a whole lot going on in the world today that is not the will of God. And it's because he's given man the right to choose. And there's a lot of men and women that are choosing the wrong way and causing all kinds of havoc in the world. These leaders, they kind of make you a little nervous. With all that's going on across the ocean. And if you're looking for security today, I want to sell you a policy. And it's a Jesus policy. It's the only security you're going to find in this world, because we live in an unstable world and it's full of shifting sands. Hallelujah. And the only stability in it is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And trusting in God's ways, no matter how insecure or how unstable the world gets, we can trust in God's ways. He's bringing us somewhere. And so the Lord gives us the right to choose. And if he takes away the right to choose for men, I got a confession to make. I just saw your ears grow like that much bigger. There's times when the road gets so rocky and rough, I've said, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, why did you allow this to happen? And I blame God sometimes for things he didn't do. As a matter of fact, I was 14 years AWOL, blaming God for something he didn't do. And sometimes, because of the darkness that's in the world, we blame God for something he didn't do, because there's a whole lot going on in the world that can touch us, can burn us, can hurt us, a whole lot going on, and God doesn't allow those things. It's not the will of God that's going on. And when God takes away our right to choose, the world's going to change forever. Hallelujah. We're going to have a new world that's ruled by God and by his say-so alone. And so he doesn't take away the will of man. And so there's negative things that are happening that work against us. But I want to say we can trust in God's ways. We don't always know what's going on, but he does. A couple of weeks ago, I think we spoke about storms, and we talked about four of them, and three of them weren't sent by God. Only one storm was, the one in Jonah's life. The other three weren't sent by God at all. Amen. But the Lord makes those storms work to our advantage. They come. They're not from God. Jesus was in the boat. A storm came out of nowhere. But God takes advantage of those storms to work things into our lives. And we heard about Samson's riddle, that out of the eater, out of the roaring lion, out of the eater comes something to eat. Out of the strong comes something sweet. And so I better read some scriptures, because I don't want to just talk a whole bunch without reading any scriptures. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow, I wonder how your stepmom would feel. Amen. And if you refuse to acknowledge her, choosing rather to suffer affliction with God's people than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he looked to the reward, and by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured as seeing him who's invisible. Amen. And so, I don't know if I'm going to peel all the layers off this today, but Moses had eyes to see the invisible God. Moses had an unction to function. Something was going on within this man's heart. And I'm saying this because he had all the gourmet meals that he would want. He could drink the finest wine in the land. He had shelter and housing. He was in line for the prestigious throne of Egypt. All those things were his. And guess what? All the girls were chasing after him, Gerson. He was a prince, and a handsome prince that had it all going for him. He had every luxury this world would ever want. And what was going on with this man? What was wrong with him that he had something going on the inside that he was calling his stepmom, "You're not my mom." Amen. And there was something driving him, something moving him forward. And so Moses went and got the balance scales out. Have you ever seen a set of scales where you weigh things up? And he took everything that was going on in his life. He took the present, put it in this side, and he took the future, the bleak-looking future that I'm telling you, the future didn't look so good, and put it in this side. He put them on the weigh scales, and he weighed things out. Amen. And he chose to suffer affliction with God's people rather than the treasures in Egypt. Hallelujah. I thought that was pretty amazing. And Moses, yeah, people of the world, they have the same choice they got to make, isn't it? We got to choose between the riches of this world and all that it has to give, or a future that we have with God. And he put the future on and his position as prince. He put him on the balance scale, and the bleakness of the future, which didn't look that good, and he renounced his position. And on the other side of the scale, the bleakness of, wow, what's it say? Suffering affliction with God's people. And Moses made his choice, and there was joy in the future, and he wanted it. Whatever that was in that future that was drawn on him, he wanted it. And he is willing to lay down everything in the present to lay hold of the future. Praise God. And there's only one way for Moses to lay hold of the future, and that was to lay down his present. Amen. And it was set before him, and wow, he made this decision. I don't know how he made it, but he must have made it because there was an unction to function within him, an unction that was pressing him, pushing him. And I was thinking about this. I'm in my prayer closet, and I'm thinking, well, how did you get here? And there had to be, well, I remembered distinctly this empty spot within me that left me empty. I looked here, I looked there. I couldn't find anything to satisfy this empty spot, and I didn't know what the empty spot was until one day I overturned a stone looking for something to fill this empty spot, and it was the rock Jesus Christ. And oh my God, all this time, the last thing I looked for, the last rock I overturned was Jesus Christ. And he began to satisfy this longing, this empty spot I had within. And so anyway, he was Moses was being drawn along, and he chose the future. And but in order to lay hold of his future, he had to suffer the afflictions with God's people in the present. Yeah. He knew there was pleasure in sin for a season, but he knew it was only for a season. Hallelujah. And I like verse 27. It's okay. I'll just refresh us. And it says that, and he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He kept his eyes on the invisible God. Hallelujah. And God must have been manifesting himself in some way to him, because he kept his eyes on the invisible God. And you know, it changes everything when God starts making himself real to you. And there's a promise in John 14:21, and we might as well look at that too. There's a promise for all of us here in John 14:21. I don't know if you got it back there. I can read it to us. And a promise. And the promise reads like this: "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him."